right, and it has liquid on it, so be a little careful there.
Oh,
this is not some kind of trick, right? I'm not gonna.
No, it's not a trick. Just put it on that table there.
That's sad when you can't trust
this friend, Mike.
You can't trust his speaker.
Don't drop it. I've only dropped it one time. That was kind of embarrassing.
It's fizzing.
It is. I didn't actually do this one, so. If you'll kind of keep me posted on time, all right.
Let me give you a 5 or something like that.
Anything, yeah. All right, good to see you this morning. Hope you had a good night's rest. We're going to be focusing all in all the time for the Lord because we're going to look at a psalm today. We're going to look at it all day, one verse, Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In 1 Samuel 21, David was in Gath. The Bible might have Abimelech or Achish was the king of the Philistines. Now this is after he'd already killed Goliath. They knew who David was. And David acted like a madman. I mean, saliva coming down his beard and hitting his head. I mean, and they said, get him out of here. That is when he penned, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, Psalm 34, which is a wonderful psalm. Brother Andy was just talking about God is wise, and we're going to get into Daniel 2 a little bit this week. But God is not only wise, there are many attributes that God has attributed to himself. God is good. And I find that a lot of young people and a lot of adults and their grandmas and grandpas have not really been able to focus on the goodness of God. And David let us know God is good. So, to try to help you remember, we're going to have a little time here with a key word there is, oh, taste and see. So I've been doing a little contest all over the United States. I've done it 91 times. The women, the young ladies, have won 70. Now, the only one time in California, a girl lost, and she kind of felt embarrassed. She was a little upset. She said, I did not know this was a race. I said, okay, from now on, I will tell everyone this is a race. It's a taste test race. And we have taste buds, right? And you usually know if something's good or if you know if something's bad. I remember one time I was supposed to go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting. I had a bad attitude. I really didn't want to go to it. I had to dress up. I had to have a suit. And I went in. And I was like grumbling, and I walked in, and man, there was food. I thought, all right, I'm glad I'm here. And I'm tasting everything, but I smelt something that was just like, whew. And so I'm looking, and I'm getting chips and some queso, and then all of a sudden I see a little bit of, man, that looks really good. It's bacon wrapped around some meat. Yeah, let me have one of those. And so I'm walking along, and it's on a toothpick, and I put it up in my mouth. And all of a sudden, everything I'd been, or what I'd smelled that was bad was now in my mouth. And I'm like, ooh. And so when you're in a suit, you just can't spit it out. And so I'm, you know, in this real nice hotel, and I'm trying to find the exit door so I can get this out of my mouth. Finally get it out of my mouth, I walk back, and I'm trying hot sauce, I'm trying everything to get it out, that taste out. And I walk back to the lady, I go, man, what is that? She goes, that is liver pate wrapped in bacon. I said, huh? She goes, would you like another? I said, no, I don't think I want that. So I've tasted some bad things. You've probably tasted some bad things. Nothing today is going to be, well, I shouldn't say not bad, but nothing will hurt you, let's put it that way. But anyway, I've been doing this contest, and so I'm, you know, hey, I'm in Spain, might as well do it in Spain and see how the men, young guys, and the ladies know
chocolate.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to blindfold, well, we're going to actually have you all choose someone that can be, that will come out and blindfold you. And I have two candy bars exactly alike. However, I just forgot. I had a few dollars to give away today. So I better do that before I forget. So, we tried Days of Creation. Let me try it again here just real quickly. Chuck, help me out again with who's up first here. Just raise your hand. It might be easier today, all right? So what day did God create the goldfish? Yes, ma'am.
Four?
No, was that four? Yes, sir? All right, you got it. I saw you looking. Day five, all right. Okay, what day did God create the Big Dipper? Yes, sir?
Two.
Three.
Four.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
First?
No, Mike actually had it. Here's his dollar.
Oh, great.
He was up there going like this.
Or
day four. All right, let me go to a math equation. Here we go, math equation. Do not raise your hand till you hear equals. Let me repeat that. Do not raise your hand till you hear equals, all right? Should be kind of simple for you. 2 + 3 × 9 − 5 / 8 = Who'd you pick? Yes, ma'am.
Me?
Yes.
Five.
That's correct. You think you're just taking the money off of me right and left, aren't you? All right. Well, we'll keep that up a little bit. Now, to the fun part.
Yes.
Let's see here. Is it AJ?
Yes.
Okay. AJ, why don't you come up and represent the guys for me here? Now, no pressure really on you, AJ. The guys have not done too well in this. So, AJ, you're going to be able to pick some guy that's going to come up and blindfold you. This is really key, who you pick, all right? Then, when I give them the candy bar, and there's no trick of you're going to look foolish up here or anything like that. All they have to do is they open the candy bar and get it up to your mouth. You take a bite, and you have to identify the candy bar.
Okay.
That's all you have to do. Okay? But guys have some trouble opening the candy bar. So you need to have somebody who might be a tad athletic, all right? But let's go then. Yes,
ma'am. Are they American candy bars, or are they ones?
They are American candy bars.
I know.
Is it like a popular
I'm not even going to give you a hint unless I have to give you a hint, okay? But you might help me. All right. Sarah, why don't you come up and represent the young ladies here, all right? So, AJ, who would you like to pick to come up? And you're going to pick a young lady to come help you. AJ, who would you like to pick to?
Pick Sam.
Oh, Sam. Oh. All right, Sam, you're going to blindfold him and just hook it there for him. And Sarah, who do you want to pick?70, and we've done it 91 times. How many times have those guys won?
91.
21. All right, 21. That's it. I'll tell you what. Why don't you come? Why don't you guys come here and so people can actually see what you do here. And all you stand up there. So all you have to do is open it, put it up to her mouth. You can't tell her what it is. You all can't tell her what it is either. All right. Oh, that's good, Sam. I was thinking the guys are going to lose again because the blindfold is down over the mouth. There we go. All you have to do, open it, put it up their mouth. As soon as, if they don't have it right, tell them guess again or whatever, because you're obviously going to read it and you're going to know what it is. Please don't tell them. All right? So it's a race, okay? So you want to taste it. And give the name. It is an American.
Did she grab it or did we?
No, you have to. I'm going to hand it to you. You open it, put it up to her mouth, and let her eat it. We'll see who really has an effective taste bud here with their chocolate. So go. There we go. And see how they do. And see who opened it. Oh, the girls got it out there first.
Snickers.
Nope.
Milky Way.
Milky Way! Guys, win it. Almost did Snickers though, Sarah, for you, but you can go
so
ahead.
Him the rest, or
yeah, well, but you want to eat it or what? Yeah, he can have the rest. He can, I mean, you can. You
know, open.
No, you. He can take the Bible off now. Thank you. Give him a hand. That's good. Oh, that was fun. Open! Oh my, that's good. All right, I have this towel clean, by the way. I have four liquids up here. Like I said, I've spent most of my time working with young people, so I can tell you nothing will hurt you here. So I need four. Let's see. Is it Josh? Joshua, come on up here, Joshua. Joshua, what year are you sent over here for? What year are you in school?
Marvin, my last year, 12th.
12th grade. Okay, good. Let's see. Caleb, why don't you come on up here? Caleb, what year are you?
11.
You're 11. Oh, I'm doing good. 12th, 11th. Do I have a young lady, 10th? Oh, is it Andrea? Is that right?
Yeah.
Andrea, come on up, Andrea. 10th grade. There we go. Do I have a freshman? Oh, Brianna. Come on up, Brianna. All right. So I have 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th represented here. I like it. Okay. Just like you got to see AJ and Sarah go through the little, I don't know that we're going to necessarily do that right now. Here's what I want. I have four liquids over there. I want you, by where you're standing right now, and here's how we'll identify them. Liquid 1, liquid 2, liquid 3, and liquid 4. That's just how we'll identify them, okay? From where you're standing, if you had to actually taste one, by standing over here, just by looking, which liquid would you choose that you think would actually be the best? So, Joshua, we'll start with you standing over there. What liquid would you say if, that's a conditional clause, if you had to taste it, 1, 2, 3, and 4, which one would it be?
3.
3. All right. Caleb. 2. Andrea.
4.
And Brianna.
Hope you're right.
1. Okay, so we're all across the board, right? Okay. Let's see. AJ, can you help me here?
Yeah.
Pick this in. We'll just put it right here in the middle. That way they can. Yeah.
Open.
Please do not spill. Wouldn't be your fault anyway, do mine, all right? Okay. Just put it out there like that. Okay. Fine. I'll just slide that in. Okay. Here's what we're going to do now. I'm going to let you get a tad bit closer to it. And I'm going to let you take a sniff. Alright? Okay, a sniff. Whiff, okay? You're not going to drink. Don't get your hair in it, girls. If you have a runny nose, try your best. All right. So Joshua, you go first. Just take a little. I mean, you can get down there and you can take a sniff, and then you can just come on over. What's that?
Of the way.
No, of all four of them, because I might let you change if you want to change. He has a very good sniffer. Okay, come on over here for me. Caleb, you go on ahead and go through. Wow. Wow. Okay, that's good. Andrea. Okay. You can't smell a thing. All right, come on through. Okay, Brian. Now, Joshua, we started with you, and you went with number three. You got a chance to get a little bit closer and sniff them. Which liquid would you say is, if you had to taste it, would you stay with three or would you change?
I'd stay with three.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Stay with three. Caleb, you went with four or two?
Two.
You went with two. Do you want to keep it at two or do you want to change?
I'll keep it at two.
You're going to keep it at two? Oh, that's interesting. Okay. Andrea, you really couldn't smell much. You went with number four, right? Did you go with number four?
Yeah, I could smell that one.
What's that?
I could smell that one.
Do you want? Oh, okay. Do you want to keep it there or do you want to change?
Since it's one of the only ones I could smell, I'm just going to keep it there.
Okay. All right. Okay. Brianna, you went with one. Do you want to keep it there or do you want to change?
I'll keep it there.
Man, I'm telling you what, man, peer pressure is just incredible. Oh, this is a first. I've never really had them stick with what you've taken a shot at, looking at, and now smelling. So this is going to be very interesting. All four liquids are being represented here as if there's a condition of tasting it. But if we're talking about tasting, and we're focusing on that word, we have physical taste buds, we have spiritual taste buds, we'll talk about here in a moment, but physically, they're not going to know. I mean, we can't know really what's the best until they do what?
Taste it.
Because they've all picked four different ones, right? So, here's what we're going to do, and Kathy, I usually have the money because I'm usually in chapels and I'm all week. I usually put it out here. I'll give you $5 each. It's only cost me $20 one time. That was in New Jersey, and a science teacher came up and said, "Have you ever tasted the water here?" So, you don't have to, okay? You don't have to drink all of them, all gone. If you want the $5, you got to drink all four, all gone, okay? If you don't want to, you don't have to. You do have to take a taste, yes.
All four of each kind, or just four of the kind you pick?
That is very astute. It would be all different, all four different. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the first liquid together, and nothing will hurt you. But you have to take at least a sip of it, and if you want the $5, you can drink all of it. But don't do this. Don't, when I say take a drink, don't go. Don't look at anybody. You just take the drink, okay? So this is liquid. Hold on. We'll do this together, all right? Liquid number one. It's a tad cold, but it's kind of nice. Liquid number one, go ahead, take a drink. I mean, if you don't want to drink anymore, you don't have to. I mean, if you want to drink at all for $5.
It's a challenge.
You're living the challenge.
It's like
the
juice from Lithuania.
Okay. Juice from Lithuania. This is unique. Okay. No. We're going to talk about. Don't say what it is.
Can I taste it?
Mr. Keltner, yes. We're all curious.
curious what it tastes like.
I'll
be able to have a chance later on.
We sure
just
might.
Just watch their face so you can tell.
Liquid. Liquid number two, Josh, that's okay.
Honor the banner.
Just swallow.
Okay. Wait. We did this. Don't watch his face. We did this together. All right. Liquid number two. Going ahead. See, he didn't swallow. I like that.
Was the first one Moxie?
I mean, they might. Who knows? They
guys,
might like
choosing,
all four.
You're choosing our drink for tonight, right?
All right, Kevin. All right, don't say anything. We'll talk about it here in a minute. Okay.
Oh, wow. All right, just calm down.
Three.
Don't drink it all up.
I mean, you are cracking me up, man. You want that $5, and you are really.
They will enjoy water later on.
Yeah. Hold on. We do it together.
That way we'll go on.
All right. Liquid number three. Go on ahead, take a drink. Can't remember who picked this one. Oh, okay. That was great, Joshua.
Well, it didn't taste like radiator fluid like I was saying.
I told you, nothing would hurt you.
You know what radiator fluid tastes like?
Well, I don't know what it smells like because Dad's car leaks it all the time.
Alright, this is liquid.
Slow.
Liquid four.
Before you start, I got a picture of this. Hey guys, wait. Get a picture with it right there.
You want a happy face? She does not have a happy face.
No.
I'm
sorry.
Okay, so just drink it.
There we go. All right, you're almost there. Usually they're cheering them on if they get down to this, and there's three of them that this might be 15 bucks. All right, this is liquid number four. Go on ahead, take a drink. Joshua, you really have some great facial expressions. Caleb over there.
Andrea, you're all over the place. Okay.
Okay. Man, alive. Do I have three $5 votes, or we're working on that?
Come on, Andrea. Josh, I can't feel my face. It's too cold.
She's all my. Hey, cheer on. She's real close to $5, right? Joshua drank all the liquids. Josh, you just had one extra. I mean, you want $5? Okay. So remember, we had liquid number one, liquid number two, liquid number three, and liquid number four. Joshua, we started with you, and you went with liquid number three. Are you going to stay with three?
Yeah.
It was edible.
What, would you say it was the best?
No.
Okay. Which would be the best? I mean, for these dear folk out here that might want to take a sip, which would be the best?
Is the one closest to me one?
No, one, two, three, and four.
Two.
Two, okay. Caleb, you went with number two.
Two, I'm staying there.
You're going to stay with number two. All right, this is going to be interesting now. Andrea, you went with number four. You're okay. You went with liquid number four. Do you want to stay with liquid number four, or what would you say was the best? You had all of them.
Yes, actually, as bad as they all are, that was the best thing there was.
Four was? Okay, we'll tell you a little bit of what you were drinking all day. One. Brianna, you went with number one. Would you stay with one, or would you move?
I'd stay with one.
You'd stay with one. Oh, that is interesting.
Very interesting.
All right. I didn't actually put these together like I normally do, so I'm going to have to have my wife help me. Liquid number one was what?
Salty cranberry. How did you love that?
Salty cranberry. Number two
was just pure green.
pure grape juice. Number three, I did pick this up from the States. That was orange Kool-Aid without any sugar, unsweetened. Tastes horrible. Liquid number four was very flat diluted Coke. So, do I have $5? Oh, okay. Well, let me give these three a great hand. I mean, never cost me $15. You sure you don't want $5 for drinking? All right. All right, you can be seated. Thank you very much. So, David, I don't know if you really want to try them.
You're okay.
Hearing them a little bit. Yeah.
I almost lost my curiosity.
You lost it. Okay. Well, hey, I appreciate those helping me out here because we're talking about taste. All right, David had tasted and... They tasted, that means they experienced those four liquids. You know, AJ and Sarah, they experienced the Milky Way. They tasted it, they know what it was like. I have experienced liver pate, really don't want it again, even if it's wrapped in bacon, all right? And so here's the deal. My question has been, why is it more people don't really want to taste the goodness of God? Now, to talk about that, we need to really define, well, what is the goodness of God? If someone came up to you and said, I hear God is good, how good is he? Well, God is so good, he has provided salvation for everyone. The gift of salvation is universal. It's for anyone in the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So, salvation is the goodness of God. I hope you never, ever, if you've come to that point, and I'm not going to assume everyone in here has, I tend to think everyone here has put their faith and trust in the Lord. Can I just give a quick time out here? If you have and you're battling doubts, I've been there. I know exactly what you're going through. I was on a missions trip. I was on the island of St. Vincent. I went over. I was going to do a pre-trip with, so when we brought our young people there, and it's in the West Indies. And the pastor said, hey, we go out door to door on Sunday afternoon. Why don't you stay here and rest? You're going to be preaching tonight. Why don't you rest? I said, hey, come over to rest. I'll do whatever you're going to do. He said, well, okay, come on. And so I went with him. And most everyone there spoke English, but there was a form of French called
Patois.
And we met this woman. Older woman who only spoke Patois, so he's communicating back and forth to her, but I can tell, even in Patois, she is mad. I mean, like, really mad. So we leave, and it was kind of an abrupt ending, and we're walking away, and I said, what did she say? He said, you do not want to know. Well, that makes you curious, and, well, please tell me, what did she say? And I kept bugging him, and he said, okay, you want to know what she said? Yes. She is a witch, and she just put a hex on you. Okay. Maybe I didn't need to know that. So I'm getting ready to preach that night. I remember I was sitting right down here where Catherine's seated, and I all of a sudden I had this weird thought, am I really a Christian? I'm getting ready to get up and speak, but am I really a Christian? And I'm like, wow, and I mean, I battled my salvation for a long time. And I'm reminded of what John MacArthur said, pastor out in California. He's written many books, commentaries. He said, it's very interesting, it kind of smells. There's a group of people over here who really love the Lord and want to serve the Lord, but they battle whether or not they're actually a believer. And
he said, that's interesting because over here, you have people that live any way they want to live, and the minute anyone questions them about their salvation, they say, oh, I made this prayer when I was so, you know, at such and such an age. Well, do you ever doubt it? I never doubt it. These people over here, they doubt it, seems like, constantly. So it's a real satanic attack. Satan loves to defeat people with doubt. Doubt God. Doubt God's goodness. Doubt God that he's wise enough to really have everything under control. He is big with wanting us to doubt. And what really helped me was a passage in Ephesians 6. I used to think that the armor of God, there was one offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I believe there's two. If you look at verses 18 to 20 of chapter 6, Paul is talking about prayer. I believe prayer is another offensive weapon. And so someone came to me and they said, Ken, let me help you. If you're doubting your salvation, let's find out if it's really of God or if this is what the enemy is trying to do in your life. So the minute the thought comes in your mind about, am I truly saved, pray for an unsaved person. Pray for a Christian not walking with God, and pray for a spiritual leader in your life. Paul said, hey, pray for me that I'll be able to have boldness with the gospel. Pray for the saints, the believers, that they're going to be able to persevere. And so there's those three people I started praying for. As soon as that thought came in my head, I called it my prayer target. It was kind of a springboard. The doubt was reminding me to pray for someone to be saved, for someone who was not living for God to come to that place that they're going to really have that fellowship with him that they really do want. And then for a spiritual leader in my life, I pray for three people. Boom, boom. I still use that today, no matter what temptation might come across the path. And it's been amazing to me to see those doubts, those fears, and those temptations just fly away. It's almost like the enemy saying, if the temptation, the doubt, is going to make them to remember to pray for these three people, of whom we don't want to see make any type of decision for God, back off. I'm not saying that's always going to be the case, but that has been a great help. So if you're over here and you would say, man, I know I've trusted the Lord, I just really battled this doubt, I want you to try that prayer target. And if I can help you even throughout the rest of the time that I'm here, I'll be glad to help you with that. But tasting the goodness of God in salvation, that you know without a shadow of a doubt that you're on your way to heaven. I can tell you this, man, there is nothing you can be more grateful of in this world than knowing that your eternal destiny is set to live, to live with him. And I would think if I know how good that is, that I should tell other people how good it is. I mean, if really I knew liquid too, is this going to be grape juice? You know, just good grape juice? I mean, I would probably be recommending, hey, drink grape juice. It's good. It's good for you. And I'm just a little shocked that more people that have tasted the goodness of God don't really tell anybody else about the goodness of God. I mean, you can grow up in a pastor's home. You can grow up in, obviously, in a home where your folks are missionaries. And we don't really express to other people the goodness of God. You know, why is it? I mean, why is it that the latest figure I saw was 95% of evangelical believers never shared the gospel with one person? I mean, it's good. David had experienced the salvation of God. He had experienced how God had protected him. And he says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Remember the gospel? That word actually means good news. I'll tell you a quick story. I was in Denver, Colorado. I was a new youth pastor. We had ran, when I was in Oklahoma, we had ran an athletic program for a public middle school of about 650, 700 seventh and eighth graders. It was right across the street from our church, and I asked, this is back in Oklahoma, and I said, hey, what have we done to get over there in the school to give, you know, opportunities to talk to kids? And they go, the school district's real particular, and you can't really do anything. We stood on the sidewalk and passed out literature. And I thought, oh, no. I got a big God. I don't believe my big God is going to confine me to a sidewalk to pass material up. And so for 2 years I prayed, Lord, I don't know what you can do, how you can do it, but I don't want to stand on the sidewalk. Not that that's wrong. I want to be in there. I want to be able to touch lives. 2 years, and one summer I'm walking. We had been having this outreach. It was a soccer outreach that we had, and we cleaned their field up, and they were kind of booting us off of what we had. It was our last Wednesday night to do this, and they said, no, we got football practice. You guys got to get off, and we want the nice. You guys made this look really nice. You mowed it. You watered it. And everything. I was a little disappointed because I'm thinking, oh boy, this is our final night, and now. And so the guys that came out to help me, they jumped in and they started cleaning the field and helping us with it. And I'm walking off, and a lady came out and she said, do you have any coaches over there in your church that could actually help us here? I said, absolutely. And we started doing some things of coach, and you know what? We were in a school. I could share the gospel with teens right at their locker. I would have the administrator call me over and say, we're having trouble with some teens. Can you come over and talk to them? And I thought, wow, this is so exciting to see how good God is to open up all these doors for gospel opportunities. So I go to Colorado. Within 15 minutes of our church, there are 5 major high schools of about at least 2,200, 9 through 12 and above. 15 minutes, 5 of them. I said, have we done anything to get into these schools? No, but we think this guy at this school that's a principal might be a Christian. I go, has anybody talked to him? No. So I thought, well, all right. And I went to a youth pastor's conference, and I was very convicted by the Lord that there was something I needed to do. I needed to go around and start talking to these principals to see what I could do to get into the school and help them for gospel opportunities, because God is good and the gospel is good news. So I went to the school. I had to get through 5 secretaries. I prayed for a few weeks before I made this attempt. I had to get through 5 secretaries finally to get to his secretary, and his name was Musiano. He was Italian. And I got there and I said, yes ma'am, my name is Ken Keltner. I'm new to Tri-City Baptist Church over here. I work with teenagers, and I just wanted to see if I could visit with Mr. Musiano and see how I might be able to help here in the school. Well, as I said that, my peripheral vision caught a very large man standing in the doorway of his office, and I looked, and he's 6'6". He went to the University of Colorado on a basketball scholarship, and he had this perplexed look. He goes, yes, I'm Mr. Musiano. Mr. Musiano, I'm Ken Keltner. I'm over here at Tri-City. And come in, I want to talk to you. I said, okay. So we went in, and I asked him, I said, would you have time that I could take you to lunch and visit with you? And he said, sure. Pick me up, take me to lunch. And everybody there at the school said, he's Italian, so you went to Amici's, or Amici's. And I said, we went to Amici's. We got there, and we're sitting there, and I mean, sweat's pouring off my back. I'm a little tad nervous talking to him. And I said, Mr. Musiano, there are some people in my church who believe you are a believer of Jesus Christ. And I'm like waiting. And he goes, really? Really? I go, yes. He kind of kept me suspended there. And he said, you want to hear my story? And I go, I would love to hear your story. Everyone that has tasted the goodness of God has a beginning place of their journey of faith. And he said, let me tell you about it. He said, I was a devout Catholic of 43 years. I was single. I was the principal of Bear Creek High School, which has 3,900 students. He said, I was the regional superintendent
of Columbine High School. I don't know if that rings a bell with you, but years ago there was a horrific shooting at Columbine. At Green Mountain High School, so I probably was responsible for about 8,000 to 10,000 teenagers. I was very proud of my accomplishments. I was devoted to Catholicism. I was single. I was confident. And a ninth grade boy asked my secretary if he could visit with me. And he came into my office and he began to share with me how Jesus saved his life. And he went through the steps that Jesus came because I'm a sinner. He said, can you imagine that ninth grade boy telling his principal he's a sinner? He said, when he finished, I said, what do I have to do to receive Jesus? Because I've never heard this message that Jesus alone can save me from my sins. And the young ninth grade boy said, well, we can get down right here on our knees in your office. And he got down as a devout Catholic of 43 years of age, and he asked that Jesus Christ to come into his life and save him. He said, when that young boy got up and he walked out, as he turned, he saw the back of his shirt was sopping wet. He said, he was that nervous, but he had something so good about God he wanted to tell me that he came in spite of being that nervous. He said, I spent the rest of the year in between classes going around looking for that young boy. He said, I never found him. We had 3,900 students. I never found him. I never got a name. He said, but Ken, can I tell you, I can't wait to get to heaven. And after I see Jesus, I want Jesus to point out to me where that young boy is. And I can't wait to give him a hug and say, thank you for telling me of the good news. David said this, you taste and you see the Lord is good. The goodness of God is seen in that he provided salvation for you and me. This morning when I got out of bed, I rolled out on my knees. And the first thing I pray, I say, Father, I want to thank you that you love me so much. You sent your son and that he was willing of himself to come and take all the punishment on me. I never want to take that for granted. I never want to demonstrate any ingratitude towards that. I want to be able to say thank you for saving my soul. And I also now pray, and I'm thankful I can know for sure I'm going to live eternally with God. I mean, there is nothing greater. And it might be you have been battling or struggling with the goodness of God, and maybe you know. Maybe I prayed a prayer, but I don't believe I meant real business with God. Can I tell you, that is the first place you're going to really sense how good God really is, when you can have that burden of your sin lifted off of you because he placed it on himself. And can I tell you, there is nothing greater. And there is no greater, can I say, gooder message that you can share about the goodness of God than that. And I know you're in the European climate, spiritual climate, and people are, but I'm going to tell you, I believe all over the world, especially 28 and under, it is opening up that people, younger people are saying, hey, yeah, I've heard this, but tell me about it. Amen. And there are some great opportunities on the horizon if God's people that have tasted the goodness of God themselves will actually say, I'm ready. I could spend the rest of the day telling you story after story after story, as moving as that one, about people that are coming to Christ saying, we just had a lady from Ethiopia Sunday night in our home, and she was just planning on her good works getting her to heaven. Thought that was just assumed, and she right there in our kind of our living area made it, I need to receive Jesus as my Savior. Because you know what? That's good news. God is good, and the psalmist David lets us know under the inspiration of God's Spirit how good God is. Now that's the first area of God's goodness, and how am I doing on time, Andy?
You're doing fine.
What? How much time do I have?
Theoretically 5 minutes.
I thought I was going to be somewhere in there. All right. And I can't tell you this other, I want to tell you something else, but I'm going to probably share that with you tonight. Second area of tasting the goodness of God is in what we would call sanctification. Sanctification is a big theological word, but when you break it down, you can break it down to a broom, a dustpan, and a mop bucket, and a trash can. That it's God working in my life, conforming me to the image of His Son, so that what I say is backed up by how I live. That what I claim is evident by what I do. You know, throughout the New Testament, especially in the Apostle Paul's letters, even in some of the epistles there with Peter, you have the first section usually of the writing being doctrine or dogma, and then it breaks out into duty. What I need to do now. I mean, if theology just stays in my head, it doesn't travel to my heart and how I need to respond and react and be, that's going to be a problem. And so there's always that balance. And so the goodness of God is not just that He saved me, but that He sanctified me and He's working in me and He's wanting to see me changed to His image. His image is kind of a high standard. He said, "Be holy, for I am holy." You know, the greatest book you can read about holiness is the book of Leviticus. I think it would be like chapter 20 to chapter 26, chapter 27. You read that, and it's like, you have any real small brothers or sisters that you all have in here? Anyway, yeah, okay. I mean, what is one key word, especially if you're kind of watching over them and you go, "Hey, don't do that." What's one key word that comes out right after that? Why? Why? That, you can almost put why after that whole section on holiness in Leviticus. God says, "Don't do this." And you can almost hear it. Why? Because I'm the Lord thy God. That's why. It doesn't say why, but it's implied there all the way through, like 4 or 5 chapters. And in a service, I read through some of those. Just boom, 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 boom. And I mean, I had college age and teenagers come up going, "Okay, did it say in there we shouldn't do that? I mean, did it say that?" I go, "That's what it said." Because it's all geared in the New Testament. Peter says it. It has already been written for you. Be holy, for I am holy. So that's what God is trying to mature us in, so that our claim of the goodness of God that He saved me is lived out and people see it. Tonight I'm going to start it off and we're going to finish the last part of Psalm 34:8. We're going to stay on it all day. Last part of Psalm 34:8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." And I'm going to tell you a story tonight. That's so on a missions trip with adults, that's so riveted. One couple, he taught English at a public school in Denver, Colorado, and today they are supported by our church and our missionaries in China. And it was because of a teenager they met on this missions trip. And I want to tell you now, but I'm not going to tell you now. I'll tell you tonight. Incredible, powerful story of a teenager who had tasted the goodness of God and salvation, and he had set his life apart and said, "I'm all in, all the time, regardless, because I live for Him." And I trust that as we spend some time together, that God is going to really be working there in your life to point out things. And I'm not going to point everything out. And I hope, too, that I'm here to be an encouragement to you. If you're saying, "Man, I'm all in.
it is encouraging to hear there's some other young people all over the world that are all in all the time. So I hope it'll be a great encouragement to you. Let's go ahead and bow in prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for your goodness. And we've been talking a little bit about it today and your goodness of salvation. And I'm not going to have anybody raise their hand, but if you'd say, man, I've just really been struggling with this thing with my salvation, this decision. I feel like I've made that, but it seems like there's a battle. We want to be a help to you. We want to encourage you because I've been down that road, and that's not an encouraging road. It's a very disturbing, discouraging road. And that's not how God wanted us to live. He wanted us to know, K-N-O-W, that we have eternal life. I think one of the greatest verses is John 6:47, when Jesus said, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say to you, he that believeth in me hath everlasting life." Father, that we can know eternally that we're going to live with you forever. It doesn't get any better. Thank you for that gift that you have provided through your Son of our salvation. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the message of David, when he was even in a very difficult time in his life, looking at being with the enemy, thinking they might even want to kill him, and you rescued him from that, and he penned Psalm 34:8, again under your direction, and we have a great verse there that tells us to go ahead, invites us to taste your goodness and to trust in you. And so as we study this verse today, may it rivet our hearts to begin give thanks and have hearts of gratitude for all you've done for us. And may we truly step out and experience the goodness of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Amen.
Let me turn off the recorder.
Okay, guys. What we have now is Sarah's here. She has to leave at 1 today.